Okay. I'm going to call the meeting, a regular meeting of Town of Discovery Bay Board Directors to order. And would you please join Director Leet in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay, at this time of the meeting, it's open for public comments and the public can talk to us about anything that is not on our agenda. So this is a teleconference. I'm not sure what public we have available, but I'll ask the moderator if there's some public that would like to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Rod Atterbury, General Counsel for Town of Discovery Bay. We do have several members on the line of the public, and we have had at least one individual of the public identify that they are interested in making a comment under this item, and that is Bill Helfrich.
Good evening, Board. My request is regarding this project of the new office. I'm requesting a board agenda item be set for a full discussion of this new office project. The budget up until this year was $250,000 to move the office. Now, when we are getting a rate study to figure out how to pay back the borrowing you needed for the wastewater and the sewer water and the water expenses that you needed to borrow for, $3.1 million was added to this budget and included the rate study. Director Graves once told me that if you want to know what is being planned or being presented, you need to go to the subcommittee meetings. I have attended most of the subcommittee meetings and didn't hear one word about a new office. The only time I think I heard anything about the office was at the special board meeting where everything that was accomplished, and I think the board meeting was in December, was presented, and we were kind of patting ourselves on the back. And at that meeting, Mike Davies, I thought, gave a quick presentation what appeared to be a wish list for a new office. Now, in the new budget used to justify the rate increases is an amount of approximately $3.1 million for this new office. At $300 a foot, it seems you could buy, you're talking about trying to build a 10,000 square foot building. So again, my request is a frank and open discussion as an agenda item regarding the office. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any other public comment?
Mr. Chair, I've asked everybody to put their line on mute, and if you're interested in making a comment on an item that is not on the agenda, please identify yourselves and be recognized. Mr. Chair, I don't see anybody else that's chiming in. You can move on to your next item.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll close public comments and move on to the consent calendar. Does any of our board have any items they may want to take off the consent calendar? If not, do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Cotone?
Yes.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Gordon?
Aye.
Director Leet?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
President
Peace? Aye. Consent calendar carries. The next item is area agencies reports. I've been informed that Supervisor Burgess's representative wouldn't be able to make it today, so I do have Assembly Member Jim Frazier's representative, I believe, has checked in. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. My name is Jennifer Qualick, and I am director for Assemblymember Jim Frazier. And I am very, very happy to participate this evening, and thank you to your town manager, Mr. Davies, for extending the invitation. I'm always happy to participate. I am a New Brentwood resident, so neighbor to you all there, but very familiar with the district and area, having served the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors for 10 years, both under Supervisor Mary Pifo and Supervisor Candace Anderson. So again, happy to be here. As you know, we certainly did wrap up session on Monday evening. It was very busy. They wrapped up at about 1:35 Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, I guess, at that point. But I did just want to let everybody know that our staff, although our City Hall office location in downtown Brentwood is not open to the public currently, we are open, we are working remotely. I am always happy to participate or answer questions on the state level as best I can. And as of right now, we are knee deep in servicing and assisting several hundred residents when it comes to EDD claims, their DMV questions, small business association questions. So I am absolutely happy to help wherever you all might need some assistance.
All right, well, thank you, Jennifer, for participating, and we probably will have some questions down the road or some things that we need to have you take a look at, and we'll be happy to reach out to you. Again, thanks for participating.
President Pease, this is Bill Helfrich.
This is not your time to speak.
You cannot ask a question over one of these reports?
It's a presentation.
I'm happy to help if I can. I may or may not have the answer, but I certainly am happy to offer my contact information to you all right now if that might prove helpful.
That, I think, would be the solution, right?
That was my question.
There you go. Okay, well, tell me when you are ready, and I am happy to offer both my email and my contact phone number.
I have a pen in hand. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right, sir. Well, my phone number for our local office here in Brentwood is 925-513-0411. And my email for everyone is jen.qualick. QUALLICK at ASM, so Apple Sam Mary .ca.gov, and I am absolutely happy to answer any questions if anybody might have any.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Absolutely.
Again, thank you, Jennifer. And with that, we're going to move on to the sheriff's office. Is there a representative on the line?
Hello, it's Lieutenant Mark Johnson.
Welcome, right. Lieutenant.
So for Discovery Bay, the month of August, we had almost 500 calls for service. We took 39 reports. A handful of those reports were actually Marine Patrol, which is actually separate from us. Some of the calls that we had and that we dealt with, one of our deputies saw a suspicious person walking down Regatta near Bixler, ended up contacting that person as he was getting into a car. That person had a warrant for possession of drugs. Upon a search of the car, she found a bunch of methamphetamine inside that car as well. We had a car flip on Discovery Bay Boulevard. Again, deputies suspected something suspicious. Ended up talking to the driver, searching the car, and again found a bunch of methamphetamine inside the car. We had a real good arrest a couple weeks ago. About 3:34 in the morning, a citizen on Largo Court, through the Ring camera, noticed somebody breaking into his car. He ended up calling 911, got a description of the suspect vehicle, which was actually a U-Haul truck. The U-Haul truck took off. One of our deputies spotted that vehicle coming down Discovery Bay Boulevard, making a left-hand turn on the Highway 4 going towards Stockton. Ended up making a stop on that truck, ended up finding a bunch of stolen property, all from vehicles that were broken into in Discovery Bay. So it was really fantastic. No surprise, the two people in the car were on parole. They had drugs in the car, and the U-Haul truck was ultimately stolen. So that was a very good arrest and a good observation by the citizen to spot that. We also had a call, I believe it was over in the lakes, about 5:30 one morning on a weekend. Somebody saw an individual going through mailboxes, and our deputies arrived, ended up spotting the person, a short foot chase through some backyards. We ended up finding that suspect, and he had a bunch of stolen credit cards and things in his possession. Found the vehicle that he was driving, again found some drugs and more stolen property inside that car. That person was also on parole for doing some theft. Just had a couple minor arrests for drunk in public. We had a brandishing with a gun, kind of a road rage incident on Highway 4 in Bixler, where somebody got cut off, the other person pulled a gun out. They didn't get a license plate, and we couldn't find one, so that case is still open. One of the things we're seeing an increase in is identity thefts, and I think it's really because, you know, with everybody being home, the crooks can't break in the houses too much more. And like everybody else, they're staying home on the computer. And so folks got to make sure that they're checking credit reports and checking their credit card statements. What we're seeing kind of more and more is that they're not just going on a spending spree, they're making small purchases here and there, so people don't notice that their charges are being made to their credit card. So make sure that you're checking that each month. A couple of runaway juveniles, a couple of minor vandalisms. Crime is still low, it's still 50% drop from June. Our station made over 440 arrests this last month. So again, it's really helping on keeping these kind of crooks in check. I'll kind of end with Deputy Castellucio, who is actually on our Discovery Bay Resident Deputy, was nominated and chosen for the Patrol Deputy of the Month for the Sheriff's Department. He is my go-to guy. Anytime I need him for anything, he's the one I go to. He's the hardest worker I have. And, you know, luckily for the folks in Discovery Bay, that's what he's assigned. If he keeps this up, I'm going to actually nominate him for the Deputy of the Year. So we'll see how that goes. Other than that, I'm open up for questions.
excuse me, I don't think we have any at this moment, but Lieutenant, certainly pass along the board's recognition of your hardest worker and hope we do get him as Officer of the Year.
Yeah, so if you guys happen to run into him, make sure you guys embarrass him and tell him congratulations.
Well, we'll stop him. Hopefully he doesn't stop us.
Right, perfect.
What was his name?
Again, some of the board members didn't catch his name. Could you repeat it, please?
Sure, it's Cody Castellucio.
That's
we just called Cody. He's a small guy.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for him.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Lieutenant. Do we have a CHP representative online?
Hello, Officer Thomas is there.
Welcome, Officer Thomas.
All right, good evening, Board. Officer Thomas at the Highway Patrol Contra Costa area. The activity we had last month for you, citation-wise, we had, looks like, 27 citations for speed in the Discovery Bay area. We had, looks like, 19 in the surrounding area from you for speed. Six citations for registration violations in Discovery Bay. Two citations for passing over WLO. Two citations for failure to yield the right of way, which would be people trying to cut through a turning lane. One cell phone violation. Three seatbelt violations. And then two other miscellaneous, which would probably be some sort of equipment violation. Arrest-wise, we had three DUI arrests for alcohol, two DUI arrests other than alcohol, which would be for marijuana and or drugs. Three warrant arrests we did, one arrest for driving on a suspended license for DUI, and we actually had a call with brandishing a weapon, a gun, in the area coming through. We had one arrest on that, which we had the officer in the A shift, Officer Hammerson, hunted that down and investigated and was able to arrest that and stuff like that. So that was pretty good. and that's the activity we had. We're starting to get some more people out there in Discovery Bay. So in the AM hours, if you start seeing early PM hours, you start seeing a guy out there that should be Officer Hammerson. He's been doing a phenomenal job out there in Discovery Bay. He was out there in the past few days in the area of Newport, Clipper, and on Discovery Bay Boulevard. So hopefully you start seeing more of a presence of him. And that's kind of what we had, the activity-wise, going out there this last month. Is there any questions for me or anything you'd like me to address?
I'm looking around and don't see anything extra, but Officer Thomas, excellent report and great work out there. So thank you for your report.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay. I'm not sure if we have anyone from East Contra Fire District on the line. Can we check, please?
Lieutenant Chief McCumber's here.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Good evening, Board. So I'll have a little bit longer report than usual due to I was not able to make last month's board meeting. I'll give you some stats from July along with August. In July, there were 59 calls in Discovery Bay with an average response on 1108. No real major incidents in Discovery Bay in July. The district itself ran 669 calls, an average response time of 932. That included responding to 6 residential structure fires, 5 vehicle fires, 1 large vehicle fire, 28 vegetation fires, and 37 exterior fires. There were also 20 vehicle accidents in the district, with initial 7 requiring extrication, 1 vehicle versus pedestrian, 6 motorcycle and 3 bicycle accidents. As many of the residents in Discovery Bay are probably well aware, July we had a lot of vegetation fires, and unfortunately a lot of that smoke blew the direction of the town of Discovery Bay. So it happened to be downwind, but a lot of those fires were in the Holland Track and the Orwood areas. July really was a taxing month for the fire district. We ended up having to call mutual aid 8 times in 1 month, which is more than we did for the calendar year of 2019. So that goes to show you that the vegetation is really dry out there, and as we've seen, especially in the last couple of weeks, to the point where we actually used East Bay Regional Parks and CAL FIRE helicopters to make water drops in the local response area, which isn't typical of how we operate. Also, the 4th of July was one of the busiest, if not the busiest, we've seen as a district in at least the last decade. We ran from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. on the 4th of July. It was over 45 calls, and between the hours of 5 p.m. and 8 a.m., we ran 22 fires in what amounted to about 18 hours. So we were on the road. Not only did we have a lot of fires in our district, our surrounding district neighbors had a lot of fires, so we were just running back and forth. But even as the county as a whole, fire-wise, it was the busiest 4th of July we've seen in a long time. Our prevention personnel were able to get out and confiscate some fireworks and write some fines, but as we all saw, seems like everybody lit off a ton of fireworks this year. Moving to August, there were 73 calls in Discovery Bay with an average response on 1128. Again, no real major incidents in Discovery Bay. District-wide, we had 679 calls, average response on 908. That included responding to 5 residential fires, 3 commercial fires, 7 vehicle fires, 13 vegetation fires, and 17 exterior fires. We also responded to 25 vehicle accidents, additional 8 requiring rescue, 5 vehicle for pedestrian accidents, 4 motorcycle accidents, and 2 bicycle accidents. The biggest incident of the month of August was obviously the Deer Zone fire in the Briones Valley and Randville Regional Park areas of the district that ultimately burned up about 3,500 acres. That was part of the larger SCU Lightning Complex of fires, where the whole of the Bay Area was overwhelmed fire-wise within a 1-hour span of that morning in August when the lightning came down. I credit the success in our county and to our fire portion of the SCU complex of this county having extra resources stood up. We knew the lightning was coming. Obviously, we couldn't predict how bad it was going to be, but we were able to throw a lot of extra resources on that fire in a short amount of time and really get a handle on it, to the point where, happy to report, we didn't lose any structures nor lives lost during that fire. There was a time we did have to pull an evacuation for the Morgan Territory area, due to a change in a rapid change in fire conditions on the initial night. But again, we didn't lose any structures. So really the thanks go to the men and women who busted their tails out there with lightning still coming down on them. And it was 110 out and 80% humidity. Heck of a fight. And as we still see, we still have a lot of fire burning in the state from those lightning strikes. On that note, as you can see, where I've kind of even said the call volume has gone up in Discovery Bay, call volume in the district has gone up to pre-shelter in place levels and even exceeded that. We are extremely busy again with the summer months. Everybody's just out doing things, and unfortunately, fires are starting and car wrecks are happening, and we're just running a ton of calls again. Still happy to report, though, we've had no firefighters test positive for COVID. We have had a couple of firefighters have to get tested over the last 2 months, but a negative test, and they have all been back to work. With all the fires, just want to remember, we're still out enforcing our weed abatement standards. Our prevention bureau is still out every day inspecting, and so are our fire aides to make sure people are following up their weed complaints. So if you do know or still have seen a property that has not been abated, please contact our fire district, and we can start the process on that. And finally, I'm sure some of you have seen, we have put the brand new engine 53 into service in the city of Oakley. Rest assured, the brand new engine 59 will be coming into service on either September 15th or 16th. The committee who's overseeing that process in the department is outfitting the engine right now, and we'll be rolling it out soon. So you'll see a brand new shiny fire engine rolling around Discovery Bay within the next 2 weeks. That is my report for the evening. I'm available for questions.
Just one note, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, Chief, but they had the Chief Helmick held a conference, a town hall meeting. I think it was Monday last week, this week. And I don't know that you attended that. Do you have anything? You probably know about it, so can you talk just a little about it?
Chief Helmick, I did not attend. Unfortunately, a lot of his scheduling of the town hall meetings falls on other meetings that I have to attend, such as this one, because part of my job with the district is I attend all the TAC and MAC meetings throughout. We still have some more coming up, so pay attention to our social media pages. We post the where and the when. It's usually either via like a Zoom or something similar, or Facebook Live. The town hall events are really just a one-on-one with the chief, where the residents virtually can, you know, ask the chief questions, and he explains about what's going on with the district and what the next steps are, and he is answering every question that comes his way. So even the tough questions. So we encourage everybody, pay attention to our social media. I know we have another town hall coming up soon. I want to say it's on the 14th for the Byron and Morgan territory area, but everybody is welcome to attend who lives in the district. So just because you don't live in the area doesn't mean you can't attend the town hall. But we, information-wise, we focus on the geographical areas and on what's important to those areas. But again, it's Chief Helmick really listening to the citizens. Any questions they have, he answers. And like I said, and we've been answering everything. So please attend. And if you want any more info, please feel free to email me, and I can kind of steer you in the right direction.
Okay, and just to ad lib just a little, thank you. You did a great job explaining that. We did have the town hall. We had a couple of board members that attended that. About 40 or 50 residents, I believe. About an hour and a half presentation given the state of the ECCFPD, the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. I thought it was very worthwhile, and maybe we'll see more of those and get the word out for people to attend.
Okay. Thank you, Chief, for your update.
Thank you.
Okay, and with that, we're going to go on to presentations. And at this particular point, I'm going to give a presentation to our fellow board director. I don't want to, but I have to. Director Leed is moving out of the state and is resigning, and this is his last meeting. So the board and the staff have put together a little something for you. There you go.
Perfect. Thank Thank you.
Glory in Texas when it's raining.
When it's raining, and it does rain.
Bob, thank you very much for your service. I'm going to miss you personally, too.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure working with you on the board.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. Can I have 30 seconds?
You can have all the time you want.
Okay. I just want to reiterate what I've sent to the board, is that I appreciate the years I've had to work with the board and the staff here. I think we've accomplished some good things. The town of Discovery Bay is better today than it was when I got here, I believe. The board and the staff are just fabulous people to work with. And I know that as I move on to the Lone Star State, things are going to get even better in Discovery Bay. So I want to thank everybody for making my job not only easy, but pleasurable. And I will miss everybody here. So thank you. Thank you all very much.
Yeah, let me just say, Director Lee, it's been back. I want to thank you for taking on some of the tough tasks, too. I mean, the finance and some of the things you jumped forward where your expertise is. You've been definitely contributed a lot of your experience from your prior jobs and such, and have been an asset to the board. Let us know what board you get on when you get to Texas. And
career might be over.
And ride safe, my friend. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
You will be missed, that's for sure. It's been a pretty good five-member team, I think, in the last few years. But remember this always, y'all come back and visit us now and then.
We all.
All y'all.
And Mr. President, if I might, on behalf of staff, I would like to thank you for your support and your service. And I would especially like to say that you have been an extremely valuable asset on our finance committee, where you provided, from your experience in finance, a lot of good, not only oversight, but advice and suggestions that I think has served staff well and ultimately the town of Discovery Bay. So thank you very much on behalf of all of us that work here at Discovery Bay.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, if I could also add on to that a little bit, Bob. I appreciate the fact that at every meeting that we've had and there was some type of discussion item, I was waiting here to see what question you would raise, because it helped me formulate different thought processes in my head. So it's been a pleasure for me to kind of learn from you and the rest of the board members, but certainly our members here, and wish you all the best as well.
Thank you.
Okay, well, on that sad note, we'll move on to
sad for some.
Where's the Kleenex?
Light applause from the audience.
Okay.
Point of applause.
Lots of applause from the audience. Okay, I heard that. Thank you. We're going to move on to discussion item regarding pool plans and correspondence.
Okay, we'll start with an update from the current pool contractor. On August 27th, I spoke with Tony Adams, the owner of Adams Pool Solution, and this is the company that started the refurbishment of the pool, and he advised that in order to get the pool refurbished by next April 2021, he would need to get the go-ahead by the 1st of October 2020. Anytime after that, he probably could not get it done in time for the season. So that's the update on that. Okay, moving on with the progress of the pool plans. So a couple of days ago, I received an email from Terracon that advised that the county had finally completed a review of the plans and that they are ready to issue permits and in the amount of $22,000, a cost to us, but ready to issue permits as soon as we name a contractor to proceed with the pool. Course, we're not there yet. So that's was going to be my
I've
update,
lost.
But
we
moved on to
anybody there?
Hello.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Unmuted.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Last thing we heard was permit.
Well, that was kind of the last thing he said.
Yeah.
All right, we're turning up the mic. Hopefully
the last thing I heard was that the county had reviewed the plans and it was ready to issue permits.
And that cost.
Okay, and the county's ready to issue permits at a cost of $22,000. And once we pay that and we name who the contractor will be for building the pool. And of course, we're not there yet. That was going to be the end of my presentation, but at the last minute today in the afternoon, I received an updated price quote from Terracon Pool Designs that reevaluated all the requirements that the county was requiring us to do to be added to the pool, and they came up with a revised estimate of $1.4 million for the cost of the pool. Now, staff has not had an opportunity to scrutinize the numbers that lead to this amount. We've not had an opportunity to digest it or discuss it with Terracon. So right now, that's very preliminary. We don't know how accurate that number is. It's going to take more work. So at this point, that's the latest information that we have right up to a few hours ago. So what staff will probably need in the future is, would you like a presentation from Terracon to come in and talk about these revised numbers that have been hashed out with staff at another meeting? Do you want to this has been presented to the Park and Rec Committee. They wanted to present it next time under an action item in terms of, should we go out to RFP, should we make a decision on the pool? And that's was a result of the Park and Rec Committee meeting.
Yeah, let me clarify that just a little bit. What the park, when we were discussing this in the Park and Rec meeting today, the issue is that we have a deadline from the other contractor. So if we delay a decision on this past the next meeting, which was why I kind of asked for this to be on the agenda for this meeting, we're making a decision to not have a pool next season by not acting. There's been a lot of talk in the community about wanting the pool, wanting to get it done. And we have health issues with swimming in the Delta. This is a water community. I don't know. I just think that the board needs to make a conscious decision on whether or not they're going to delay, at least for another year, having a pool here for the citizens to swim in.
So I would say, number one, that's an estimate. That is not a quote.
Correct.
It's only an estimate. It's the best estimate Terracon has, and it's the one we've been waiting for to get a feel for whether we could or could not afford this. I understand the deadline, and I think we should try to achieve that, but that can't be the mark that makes us rush into this. We've waited a year and a half almost now or more. But you've just got the report. My recommendation was to work with Terracon, yourself, staff, and see what it all means, because I tried to digest some of the numbers, and there's a lot in there. So if you go back, work on it, because anytime any regular person got a quote, they'd go back and talk to them and say, hey, let's cut this, let's do that. So let's go back, do a couple of days work on it. I'm not trying to say a week or two. I like the idea of putting it on the agenda next time, because that's a couple of weeks. That's more than enough, I think, to whittle through some of the details and see whether there's any anything to be had one way or the other.
Okay, I
Bill, help out any public comment?
No. Oh.
Yes, we'll. This is a presentation, so I don't think we have public comment in a presentation.
Yes, you do have public comment. Here's just one question.
Mr. Chair, this is Rod Atterbury, General Counsel. Can I ask that the public please mute their line until they are called upon and allow the president to run the meeting? Mr. President, this is an item listed on the agenda, and so once you have completed board discussion, I would ask that you open it for public comment and recognize those individuals that identify themselves. But we can't continue to have individuals interjecting in the middle of your running of the meeting, Mr. President.
Thank you for that legal advice. Some of the things that I need to kind of get my head wrapped around is, can we even afford a pool, number one? Not the construction of it, but the maintenance of it forever, being that we don't have a revenue source for recreation. So I'd like to have staff kind of review some of these things so that we'd have them ready for the next item when it comes up next meeting. The size of the current pool, if we refurbished it, the size of this pool, to kind of get a sense of what that's going to cost impact-wise. What type of past revenues did we receive from the past pool? Actually, what's the cost to run that pool? The lifeguards, we have electricity for the heaters, chemicals, maintenance, all of those kinds of items we need to think about. I know that we had some input and funding from River Otters, but not all that funds come to us. They have to pay their staff, et cetera. So I'd like to know what kind of revenue after all of those expenses has been paid, what comes into the community center for their rent, if you will, of the pool. And then also, are there any other capital improvements that are contemplated for the community center area, be that anything else? Tennis courts, I know we just did, so we're going to go ahead and get a pickleball upgrade, etc. And I see it as we have three options. We can refurbish the current pool, which doesn't help the River Otters. We could try to come up with a way to finance this or pay for a larger pool, which we're discussing now. And or if the cost, the ongoing costs coming out of Zone 8 makes it something that's extremely difficult to do with the funding that we don't have, maybe we have to not have a pool. So those are three things I think the board really has to have to wrap their hands around, because this is a major investment with ongoing maintenance that we have no dedicated revenue source for. So those are my comments at this time.
I'd like to add a comment. So 18 months ago, February 6, 2019, Terracom initially presented to the board several different proposals. And the current design was one of the proposals. And at that time, they said it'd be approximately $1.1 million 18 months ago. They also said during that presentation, but there could be a 10 to 50% adder to that. So the new number that they just presented is exactly what they said was going to happen February 6th of 2019. So their numbers really haven't changed. But my bigger comment is, I agree with you, Chair. We need to have those data points. Why did we ask those data points 18 months ago? I feel like we have an opportunity to explore those items, but we haven't. And now we're at a cusp where we have a potential bid in front of us, and I'm not sure staff's going to have enough time to gather all that information for us to make a decision of whether or not we're going to make a pool available for next season. So I'm a little frustrated in the process.
I don't think we have to think about having a pool available for next season. I think we have to make a decision on whether we have a pool for the future.
And you use the word bid, it's not a bid.
We've got to go out for an RFP to make this happen.
I just want to make sure.
But these guys are pool designers.
Yes.
The numbers that they're throwing out there is based on their experience of designing and building pools. So I have to put some credibility behind the number since we hired them.
I think that's why we were waiting for the number. And they weren't ready to give us that number. They gave us an estimate. They came up to that estimate. I think the work that they've done has been slow. Some of it caused by COVID, but not all of it. Getting the number now, knowing it's an estimate, if we went out to bid, we could get a lower bid, we could get a higher bid. We don't know that, but that's part of the discussion process we're going to have.
Any other comments? Okay, at this particular point, I'm...
Public comment, possibly?
Possibly, if you'd let
Mr. Chair,
ask for it, I would open the public comment. Mr. Helfrich, please go ahead.
Thank you. The pool issue, going back
coming back at $1.4 million is just about what they said 18 months ago. And I think it's real simple. If you want the new pool and it's going to cost, you can sit down and say whether it's $1.3 million, $1.2 million, $1.4 million, are you willing to pay for that? And it's that simple on the thing. And you've spent almost 80 grand with Terracon, and you're no further along now than you were before. Plus, I remember seeing budgets when you're questioning, your own staff did budgets of what if you put the bigger pool in, what the extra cost would be versus using the existing pool. That work's been done and has been presented to you. I think now it is time to either say fix the old pool or go with no pool, but I don't know how in the heck you can afford a $1.4 million pool when you're going to be spending almost, borrowing $30, $35 million for other things? So that's my public comment. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Yeah, my name is,
go ahead.
My name is Desi McMillan, and I'm a resident here in Discovery Bay. I actually emailed you guys 2 years ago when I was 9 months pregnant with my son. I have an extensive background in aquatics as a director, lifeguard trainer. I actually worked for the town at one point, training your lifeguards. And to be honest, I don't have an opinion about the big pool or the other pool or whatever it is. What my issue is, my son that I was pregnant with when I emailed you all of this information, he's almost two and we still have no pool. And I'm sitting here listening to a meeting where you guys are saying the same thing you were saying 2 years ago. So my question to the board is, who is going to make this decision? The information's there. I'm happy to write out with all of my experience and all of the different programs. I've run swim teams from 300 people down to 50 people. I've run swim lesson programs. I've done it all. If you guys need that information, I've given it to you. I will give it to you again. But it's there, and we can't keep pushing this off. Every single board meeting is the same thing. And how do we as a community get you guys to make a decision on this? Because it's just, I mean, the proposal that came in, it's the same amount. You're saying you have to dig into it more, but why do we need to dig into it more? It's an amount of money that you asked for from this company twice, and it's the same. So where do we go from here, and how do we help us move forward? We need to move forward at this point.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any other public comment?
Yes.
Hi,
it's you. I'm not sure. Okay, let me go first, and I'll shut up. It's Frank Dickinson. I've kind of lost track. This has gone on for so many years now. I've lost track of what the cost was just to refurbish what was there. So it's been, partially dug up, and now it's still waiting to be refurbished, and I'm assuming that Cadams Pool that gave you a deadline date must have some amount in mind to refurbish what's there. I haven't heard that, so when you come back at this on another agenda, I would like to know the refurbished amount versus this $1.4 million amount for a six-lane pool versus refurbishing what we have in place. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
Hi, this is Kevin Herman. I do have a comment. I'm curious as to why the affordability of the pool has not yet been analyzed since we've been at this for 2 years. In addition, I think we really need to make a decision on this pool for next season. For many years now, the Delta has been just unswimmable for kids because of the blue-green algae. And kids need this pool for exercise, for social gatherings. So I really encourage the board to make a decision one way or the other for next season. Thank you.
The next public speaker, please.
Yes, this is Carolyn Graham, and I was just wondering how much has been spent so far on looking at the new pool as far as soil testing, as far as permits and design. Can anyone tell us that?
Will anybody tell us?
Yeah, it's not customary to get back and forth during public comment. We'll note those questions and have those at the next meeting for you. Is there any other public comment?
This is Amanda. If there's no one else still in front of me. And this is Amanda Dev. I want to thank you guys so much for working on this. I do not envy this position in front of you. And I know that this is a hot topic for the community, and that's a steep number. But this is 2020, and we're still operating in the 1970s here.
I'm not sure if Amanda muted herself or not, but we're not hearing anything.
No, Mr. Chair, it looks like she got disconnected and dropped off.
This is Kevin Hermanson. I'll text her really quick.
While we're waiting for Amanda to rejoin us, is there any other public comment?
Yes, I'd like to comment.
Please identify yourself.
My name is Rick Pierce. I'm president of the Discovery Bay River Otters. And I'd like to comment, kind of clarify some of the misnomers between some of the pools that are being offered out there. A lot of people believe that the newer six-lane pool is...
You got that?
Am I clear? Do you understand me?
Yes, keep going, Rick.
Okay, got it. So my understanding is that people think that the six-lane pool is a Rolls-Royce of pool, a larger pool. It's really not much larger than the existing pool. The existing pool is 110,000 gallons, and the proposed six-lane pool with the little alcove for lessons on easy access is actually 130,000 gallons. So it's just about 15% difference in pool size. Where the difference comes is now you're dealing with a newer pool. Everything's going to be newer, new. The piping, the decking, everything. So if they do make repairs on the pool, they've made repairs on this pool in the past. And every time they make repairs on the pool, another year or two later comes and they have to dump another six plus figures into the pool to keep it going. So the idea is to actually replace it with a pool that's going to last us for decades and not needing constant repairs. Not to mention, it's also going to be a lot more programmable. In other words, you'll be able to rent out the facility. No one really wants to rent out a 3.5-lane pool right now, or pay for a 3.5-lane pool. There's really not much of a market for it. It's not very usable in the depths. You cannot teach swim lessons in it. It's not a very good pool for that purpose. Whereas the new pool would be able to accommodate many more different programs and be actually a facility that will generate revenue, because repairing the existing pool will not generate revenue, nor will it be free of future repairs and actually very costly repairs. So please take that into consideration, that we're investing in the future. You guys have an opportunity to do something very special here and make it go and make something special for Discovery Bay. Like it's been mentioned, there's no other recreational activities going on in this community, you know, except for maybe some t-ball and a few other things like this, like that. But being able to have a swim team and swim lessons and free swim and lap swim in a water-based community is extremely important for a place that prides itself on being a water-based community. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
This is Amanda, if I could continue that thought.
Please.
I was disconnected in the middle of making a point that we're a little behind the times in Discovery Bay, and I'd love to see us continue forward with a bid, the bid process, and take us into the next decade for Discovery Bay, and I'd love to see us make those kinds of improvements. I think it's an investment worth making if we can afford it. So I would just encourage the board to let's see if somebody will come in under bid and do us that favor. Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment?
Hi, my daughter actually would like to go ahead and public comment.
that okay?
That's fine. Please identify yourself.
Okay, yes. Here she is.
Hi, my name is Kate. Teenage swimmer out here. I'm for the River Otters. I am definitely wanting to get a pool because right now there's nothing for a high school swimmer to do out here. And having a pool out here could give so many opportunities for the teenagers, for jobs, to have swimming programs. You could do water polo and even lifeguarding. And even with new families coming in, every kid should get the chance to be able to swim out here. I mean, yeah, we have the Delta, but as safe as it is, it's still pretty dangerous. Having a pool would give all kids the chance to enjoy the water and have a facility out here where they can go and hang out. So I'm definitely hoping for a pool.
Okay, thank you for your input.
Okay.
Is there any other public comment?
May I make a comment?
Please identify yourself.
Terry Laughlin.
Go ahead.
I live at 5735 Greenfield Way. It seems foolhardy to spend all this money on a large pool when we have so many other things that are in need of repair around the community. Things that we've already made a commitment on for years going back, and now we're just setting them aside. And a large pool is really not necessary, as has been proven by the river otters have been using the older pool, the small pool, for practice, and have done extremely well. And they've been told by, we've had people like some coach from Liberty High said that the kids were the best trained kids he'd ever seen, and they were coming from the small pool. So apparently that's more than adequate for the team that they have. And so I think we should really look. And also, the actual overall cost of the pool going down the road is going to be brutal, and we shouldn't do that. Also, we're not in the business of putting on water shows here in Discovery Bay. We don't have the adequate parking for it. Our facility is just not good enough to do that. And to make it good enough to have on, to really even think about having a pool venue that'll make any kind of money at all, we couldn't afford it. It would cost many more millions probably to improve it, to make it like the one that's in Brentwood. Now there's a pool facility. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
Am I allowed to comment again?
No, you've had one comment. Everyone has one comment.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment, please.
Please.
This is Mike Lawrence.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was looking back at your fiscal year 2018-2019 adopted budget. Community Center has never made any money. It's like a 2-3 to 1 revenue versus expenditures. Now you're budgeted for 2019-2020, you're budgeted to lose close to almost $500,000 as a loss. Now your notes down here said in 2018-2019, the Recreation Department will be renovating the pool for $250,000 and a chemical room for $333,000. The board of directors and staff are working together to develop a plan to increase revenues for the community center's future. The community center remains a valuable asset to Discovery Bay Parks and Recreational Program. It's nothing but a losing entity. And now you're going to dump another $1.3 million on it? Where's your return on investment? Since you bought the community center, you haven't made a dime. That's it.
Okay. Is there any other public comment?
Hi, this is Allison Watts. I was going to go ahead and make a comment.
I just wanted to kind of clarify again, the pool that we just planned isn't a huge pool. It is still the same amount of water that was in the other one, just a different footprint going in. And as far as the swim team goes, for anyone who has grown up swimming, being part of a swim team, most of it is that you have your own pool. You go there and you host meets so other people come and your families get to come and watch you swim. With our kids that swam for River Otters, they never got to experience that. We had to get up at 4 a.m. on Saturdays and travel to go and swim against other teams, always being the visiting team. And this would allow Discovery Day to have that sense of having ownership in your town and these kids to experience that. And we, you know, I know it's only a swim team, and I get it for everybody who doesn't think they're going to maybe use the pool or swim on swim teams. But maybe you have a grandchild that will, or a friend or a neighbor, and you may want to go and participate and watch them swim. And the parking, if you saw the little town, you know, I mean, they have old swim cabana clubs in downtown Concord and Walnut Creek, in much smaller areas that host these swim meets. It isn't thousands of people coming into town, but it would actually help all of our little businesses that are hurting for business. You know, the ice cream place, you know, Callahan's and Mountain Mike's, the families would come and they would get lunch and an ice cream. It would bring people out to Discovery Bay to see something they maybe haven't seen. So I just kind of wanted to fill in for that swim team part. Yes, I get it. People think it's just for that, but there are so many other programs this pool could offer for other people in the community other than just swim team. That was it. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other public comment?
I'd like to comment.
Please identify yourself.
This is Jill Snowden.
Go ahead, please.
Several people have mentioned that there will be no revenue, no money will be coming in. Right now, when I take my family to Brentwood or Antioch or anywhere outside of Discovery Bay to swim, to the last person's point, we're taking all of our money out of this town for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. We're not gonna come home and eat. We're already someplace else. We're doing all of our shopping and everything where we're close, and it's not in Discovery Bay. So if I can't stay in my own town to spend the money that belongs here, of course we're not gonna bring any revenue in. The only people that can enjoy that community center right now are the fraction, the tiniest fraction of people that play tennis. So it needs to be for futures and futures. I've got young children. So I know that I'm gonna be in this town until they're having their own children. So I've gotta look at more than just, you know, the future and the small pool. Like, this is gonna be our legacy. This is all we've got left. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
Mr. Chair, we're not seeing any further public comment. Very well handled. You can move on.
Thank you for that advice. With that, we will move on to...
Can staff just get some clarification on direction? So what I heard is bring back to the next meeting. Well, first of all, would you like a presentation from Terracon at the next meeting going over the numbers that staff works with them on so that you can question Terracon? Is that...
If the committee wants it, fine. I don't think we need it.
Was there a scope of work given besides just the numbers or just the numbers?
It was a raw, there were some line items in it, but it was it's a rough estimate of what they believe based on their experience in the current market. It is not a bid, it is not a firm number, it's a estimate based on Terracon's experience in the business.
But for clarification purposes, it's the data that we were looking for to be able to make a decision from, is that correct?
Well, it was the data to determine. The data was there to give the board some thumbnail on whether they wanted to proceed spending more money on an RFP process and going out to bid.
Money and time.
And time. There's also additional money that would take place. This thing doesn't include things like the permits cost, the cost of developing an RFP. So this is just their raw, rough estimate of what they believe the pool project would cost.
If this is their raw, rough estimate, what was the one they gave us a year and a half ago?
Raw, rough estimate.
What did we wait a year and a half for?
Because we asked them to put all...
So you can't call them both the same thing. This is not. This is more than a raw, rough estimate.
Well, this is an updated estimate
based on research and much more understanding from the county what's required.
Correct.
So they needed more data to give us a much more precise, I won't say precise, a much more accurate bid estimate, correct?
Correct. So that's correct.
Adding